Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. I would like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through our study of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 15, which says, "Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men." And we've been looking at, over the last couple of episodes, this issue of how the Apostle Paul holds up this assembly that's in Judea as an example unto the saints in Thessalonica, to say that this is something that if they could use as a pattern for them on how it is that they live their life, speaking specifically related to the issue of this idea of suffering. And as he speaks about this issue of suffering, he speaks about how the nation of Israel did all sorts of things in their rejection of God. And where we left off here is this issue of where Paul's speaking about the fact that they killed their own prophets, and how these individuals who had been carrying out the ministry of God the Father, trying to show the nation that the kingdom was being offered, that this is what they were going to have to do, and here the nation as a whole rejected these individuals. Now we can go over here, let's go over to the book of Acts. We'll go to Acts chapter number 3 for a moment to see what Peter is going to say here related to this idea of prophets and prophecy here. And here in Acts chapter number 3, we're going to start here at verse number 19, just to kind of get the context of what Peter is saying here to them. It says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." And we see here Peter, as he's speaking on the day of Pentecost, speaking to the nation of Israel, points to the things that the prophets had been preaching unto this nation. And you see how far the idea of prophecy actually goes back with the nation of Israel, because it speaks about how the prophets in verse 21 had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So this takes it all the way back to Genesis chapter number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in verse 2, it says, "And the earth was without form and void." And you see how the creation deals with all of these different things related to the earth, and everything from that point on just keeps dealing with the earth, the earth, the earth. And how Peter is saying that the prophets were the ones that were speaking of things from that time forward. You see how Peter starts to name these prophets, speaking about, you know, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow. So identifying that Samuel was one of the prophets that was giving the nation of Israel the information that they needed, so that way they could be able to follow what God was laying out for them. You see how the covenants are brought up as part of this. That there's all of these different things that talk about what prophecy really was related to the nation of Israel. And we see here, I want to go over to 2 Peter chapter number 1. Because again, we're going to see Peter identifying and really defining some things related to what prophecy really was for the nation of Israel. And here in 2 Peter chapter number 1, I want to read here verse number 21. And it says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So Peter defines the fact that the prophets were speaking as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Godhead was giving the prophets the information that they needed to share with individuals, so that way they could be able to proclaim what the Word of God actually was for the nation of Israel, so Israel could know exactly what it was that they were supposed to be doing. And that's why you see the whole idea of that gift of prophecy speaks about the fact that the Word of God is being given to individuals. It's one of the reasons why we no longer have a gift of prophecy today, because we have a completed Word of God. The Apostle Paul identifies the fact that it was given unto him to fulfill, which means to complete, the Word of God. So when the Apostle Paul pens his last epistle, which was 2 Timothy, there's no more prophetic utterances that are being given. There's no more Word of God being given to man, because we have a fully complete Word of God which we can rely on. You know, we don't have to worry about visions or things coming to us in dreams or somehow, you know, some further revelation that's going to come, because we know that we have a completed Word of God. The nation of Israel had a series of prophets that, as their history was going on and they were receiving the Word of God, the prophets were there to give them the information that they needed, so that way they would be able to know exactly what it was that they were supposed to be doing in order to obtain and maintain their salvation and maintain that good standing with God. We know that as the members of the body of Christ, that we have that standing the moment we put our trust in the gospel message for today. When we put our trust in the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And when we put our trust in that and that alone, we are saved, we're identified in Christ, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, we have His righteousness. All of those things that the Apostle Paul identifies for us, we know that they're true because the Word of God says that it's true. Now the nation of Israel, as God was dealing with them, and He was dealing with them through a series of covenants, giving them information that they needed, they would continue to say, okay, we have this piece, and then they would receive another covenant. Now we have understand this piece. Then they would receive another covenant. Now they would understand this piece. And these covenants pointed out exactly what was going to be going on with them. So as we look at these covenants, let's go back over to the book of Genesis. We're going to Genesis chapter number 12. And we're going to see the first covenant that's made here with the nation of Israel. And it's a covenant that's made with Abraham here. At the time, he's identified as Abram. But it's the first covenant that's being given here. I'm going to read the first three verses of Genesis chapter number 12. And it says here, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now this is a covenant that unfortunately many people try to think that this is still going on today. They still try to function under this idea. We know from the book of Ephesians that the covenants are not how God is dealing with us today, because the covenants were made with the nation of Israel. This first one here, talking about how they were going to be made a great nation, then there was going to be a blessing given to those who blessed the nation of Israel, a curse that came upon those who cursed the nation, but everything pointing to that issue of that the nation of Israel was how God was going to be dealing with the earth, the plan that God was going to be using them to reconcile the earth back unto himself through that nation. And as you continue on through the scriptures, you see how there's the promises of the fact that they're going to be made a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. There's promises about the blessings that are going to come upon them as a result of being this chosen people that God has set up in order to use them to reconcile the earth back unto himself. And so we see as we continue looking at the idea of these covenants here, and let's go over to 2 Samuel now, and we're going to go to chapter number 7 in the book of 2 Samuel to look at another covenant that God makes with the nation of Israel here. And here in 2 Samuel chapter number 7, we're going to start here at verse number 11. And it says here, "And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. And I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." And so we see as God is dealing with the nation of Israel, he's speaking about how there's going to be a king that's going to be ruling over the nation of Israel for all of eternity. And that king is going to come from the line of David. Now we know that that promise that's being given here points to the Lord Jesus Christ. How the throne goes from David to Solomon, and then goes to Solomon's son, and continues on and on through the generations, waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to be the one that's going to fulfill the idea of thy throne shall be established forever. And the nation being put in that position. And this is why you see how they're looking for that kingdom to be established, because the covenant has told them that this is exactly what's going to happen with them. Now, you still see this idea of the chastening happening for those who are not doing the things that they're supposed to be doing, because there's still some of these conditional things that are going on, because the last covenant that God is making with the nation of Israel, that hasn't gone into place yet. And this covenant is the one that we identify and call it the new covenant. Let's go over to Jeremiah chapter number 31, and we're going to see Jeremiah actually record and give us the information related to what this new covenant was and what this promise for the nation of Israel was all about here. And here in Jeremiah chapter number 31, we're going to start here right at verse number 31. And it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Now, as we're looking at this, I want to look at one passage that ties in with this idea here. Let's go over to the book of Ezekiel for a moment. And we're just going to read a couple verses out of Ezekiel that are speaking about this covenant as well, to give the idea of exactly what is being said here. And we're going to read verses 26 and 27 of Ezekiel chapter number 36, which says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." So the whole issue of what this new covenant that's actually being made with the nation of Israel, and this new covenant is actually going to replace the covenant as Jeremiah is recording, talking about this covenant that had been made as they were taken out of the land of Egypt. And that's talking about the issue of the law and how the law is going to be taken away, but it's going to be taken away in a manner because instead of it being a thing of where they would have the opportunity to be able to do the things that were contrary to the law, God's going to put the law inside of them, so that way they will continuously do all of the things of the law. There won't be anything of where they could fail at it, and because there's going to be no failures that would be a part of it, the idea of chastisement would no longer be needed because they can't do anything contrary to the law. You see how Jeremiah speaks about the fact that they would no longer have to even teach individuals about what God wanted them to do, because all those who were part of what God was doing, the law would actually be part of them, and they would have nothing of where they could actually go contrary to. Now, these are all the promises that the prophets had clearly laid out to the nation of Israel. And this is only a portion of the information that's been given to them. And yet, as this information is being given, the nation as a whole rejects all of this. They do not put their trust in what God's trying to tell them. They reject all of these things. And as their rejection is going on, they are killing these individuals to the point where we see what the Lord Jesus Christ says about the nation of Israel. If we go over to Luke chapter number 11, and we're going to see here that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he's speaking, is going to identify their failure related to this here. In Luke chapter number 11, we're going to start here at verse number 49. And it says, "Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation." Now, as you see the Lord Jesus Christ speaking here and talking about their rejection of the prophets, you see how he first points back to that same thing that we had looked at a few minutes ago about the idea in the book of Acts, talking about how the prophets were there from the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ brings up this same issue here. And as he's bringing up this issue, he identifies as part of the thing of, as they persecuted them, and as he's using that term persecute, we're getting the idea of that it's this punishment to the point of death that's going on with them. You see how he names, thing it says, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zechariah. Now, this is a little bit more than just the idea of, well, he's taking the first, you know, the first one alphabetically and the last one alphabetically and saying, well, here you go, these are all the prophets. The Lord Jesus Christ named these prophets in this manner because it covers at this point, as he's speaking to them, what the completed word of God actually would have been from the beginning of it all the way to the end of how they had their scriptures laid out. Because Abel takes them back to the book of Genesis, which is where the scriptures begin. The mention of Zechariah is, we find it in the book of 2 Chronicles. And if you understand how the Jewish scriptures were laid out, their scriptures where we look and say, like our, and I'm going to kind of put in quotes, Old Testament goes from Genesis to Malachi. Their scriptures went from Genesis through the book of Chronicles. That's where their scriptures end. They hit a different order to the scriptures. So what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to them was, you know, all throughout the recorded word of God, you have failed as a nation. You have failed as this chosen people. You have rejected what this offer has been related to the kingdom message. And as a result of it, you've persecuted, you've slain these individuals. You're guilty of this, and you're going to have to pay, because he's saying that the blood would be upon them. It's required of this generation. It's required of those who are rejecting what God is doing to have to deal with the complete rejection of what God's program had been related to the nation of Israel. And we're going to continue looking at some of this in our next episode, looking at this failure of the nation of Israel as a whole here. And as we close, I always like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study, as you know, through a conference call option as well. And we would love to have you participate in either one of those ministries as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything in our broadcast, anything that you read at our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight of faith, and we'll see you next time.